This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
The book of Titus is a letter that Paul wrote to a young preacher, a young pastor, that he had won to the Lord and had trained him to be a pastor. And Paul left Titus in an island called Crete. It's not the place just over here in Illinois. It's a different place. It's a different kind of Crete. Paul left Titus there. And now he's written him a letter, giving him some instructions and some reminders about what he's supposed to do and how he's supposed to do it. So we're going to read the first few verses tonight, and then there's a list. There's a big, long list in verses 7 through 9, and that's where we're going to focus tonight. We're going to see if we can understand that a little bit better and try to remember it too. All right, so Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete. So Paul is saying, this is the reason I left you there, Titus. In case you wondered, this is what you're supposed to be doing there. Sometimes we all need reminders, don't we, of what we're supposed to be doing, of what our job really is. And so Paul says, this is why I left you there, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking. You gotta make some things right that aren't quite right there in the churches in Crete. He says, ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. I put you there for that purpose, and so you need to go ahead and finish that. Now he begins to talk about what those elders need to be like. He gives some explanation of them, what they're supposed to be. And those are still good patterns for us today. He said that if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now we talked about those last week. We said that a bishop had to be blameless, and that's going to get repeated, so I won't go into that. It says he needed to be the husband of one wife. So it seems kind of apparent that he needs to be a man if he's going to be the husband of one wife. And he needs to only have one wife, not more than one wife. It does seem that Paul is not necessarily saying he can't be a single man. Some people believe that's what he's saying, but I don't personally take that interpretation. I think it just means he has to be married to one woman or fewer. You can have fewer than one wife, but you can't have more than one wife. Okay? Now, he also says that if a pastor has children, they need to be a certain kind of children. They need to be faithful. They need to be full of faith. They need to be believing children. They need to be people who have accepted the doctrines of the Bible. And they also need to be children who are not accused of riot or unruly. They need to not be having a reputation for causing trouble everywhere they go and for rebelling and always breaking the rules. But they need to have a reputation for doing what they're supposed to do. Now, starting in verse 7 and all the way through verse 9, there's a big long list of, I think it's somewhere around 13 things that a pastor's supposed to be. Now, let me pause and review something we talked about last week. Those of you who weren't here last week, we spent quite a while talking about the word bishop. It says that a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, and so on. But a little bit later, it talks about elders. And that's kind of confusing. But whenever you read in the Bible, usually when you come to the word bishop and the word elder, it means the same thing. And also pastor means the same thing. So when you read bishop or when you read elder, think the pastor of your church. That's what it's talking about, or the pastor of a different church. So pastor, elder, and bishop are all the same thing. Now, what's the first thing we read about this bishop or this elder? He is to be blameless. Now, I brought some stuff with me tonight to help us understand and remember these qualifications that a bishop has. So I'm going to need some folks to come up and help me look through my stuff, because they're not there in any order, and in the Bible they are in a certain order. So we have to try to find what in my box of stuff has to do with each characteristic, okay? Now, it's going to be harder at first because you got to choose out every single one. Excuse me, but as we get them chosen, we're going to set them up on the platform in order so we can remember which one is which, okay? So we'll review. Now, the first thing here it says is blameless. So I'm going to call on somebody that we had with us last week to talk about this a little bit because this might not be apparent to those who are here for the first time tonight. What do you think it means to be blameless? What does it mean to be blameless if you were here last time? Anybody? Not guilty? Okay, good, good. Brother Terry, add to that. Not being in a position where you can be accused and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I believe that. That's exactly the way they are. Now, anybody can accuse anybody, right? So this isn't saying that you never, ever are accused of something, because everybody's accused of something by somebody. But this has the idea that if this accusation was made public, it wouldn't have a lot of traction. It wouldn't hold on to that person. It wouldn't stick to that person because everybody would be, well, I don't know. I've never seen him act that way. I've never heard him do that. So that's the idea of the word blameless. One person that I studied used the word irreproachable. Irreproachable. This is someone that you can't give a reproach to. It's not, oh, I know how bad they are. Okay, so I need a volunteer under the age of 100 to come to the front to help me find my object lesson for irreproachable. Blameless. Who wants to come on down? Or do I get to choose a volunteer? You know, when you choose them, they're not really volunteers. All right, come on down, little Missy. We'd love to have you. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, thank you, Mom, for helping me. That's Addison, not Allison. Phew, what a nice mommy you have. Addison, how are you tonight? Are you well? I'm so glad to hear that. Now, can you see what's on my table here? I've got a bunch of stuff. I've got a box here with bunches of cool things in it. Some of these things will pertain to our list. And then I got this stuff over here and this stuff here. Okay. So I want you to try to help me find what in this set of stuff could possibly remind me of blameless or irreproachable. Does anything here look like something that would be irreproachable or blameless? This is a tough one. I really think, Addison, this is the hardest one of the whole night. Remember we said that if someone threw an accusation at a pastor, it shouldn't stick to him. Okay? It shouldn't be like everybody, oh yeah, that's probably true. Now, do you like to eat eggs? Yeah, me too. How do you like them, scrambled or fried? Yes. Both. She said yes. Okay. Do you like them poached? Have you ever had a poached egg? Mm-hmm. Really? Wow, that's tremendous. Well,
I like potatoes to eat. They're my favorite.
Oh, I like potatoes too. I had some last night. Okay, well, is there anything on this table that your mommy might use if she's going to make eggs for you? This right here. So what happens when she cracks the egg? It starts to sizzle.
No, she mixes.
Oh, she mixes them together. Mm-hmm. She scrambles them up first.
And then she makes some bread. And then she puts the eggs on it.
Oh.
And then when she cooks the eggs, then she puts it on the bread. And then she puts bread together, and then I eat a lot.
Oh, you eat it all gone. That's great. Well, have you ever been able to see? You might not be able to see up on the stove, but when the eggs are in the pan, does she have to get like a big knife and start scraping them out when she's done cooking? Or do they kind of come out pretty easily?
They come out pretty easily.
So would you say that the eggs stick to the pan?
No.
Yeah? Okay, well now listen. That's the way it's supposed to be. If somebody says something that a pastor does something wrong, it's supposed to be like eggs in a pan. It's just supposed to whoop, slip right out. Can you imagine if your mom was frying eggs and she did like this, what would happen?
It can slip out.
It would just slip right out, wouldn't it? It wouldn't stick to that because this is coated so that stuff won't stick to it and it slips right out. And so pastors are supposed to be like frying pans. Pastors are supposed to be so that if there's something in them, or something that's accused of them, it doesn't stick. It just slips right out. Okay? So this reminds us of the word blameless. Can you say that? Can you all say it? Blameless. So pastors are supposed to be blameless like a frying pan. All right, so why don't you take our blameless frying pan and go set it on the top stair over there for me. Can you do that? Very good. Thank you so much. Let's put it right over here so we have room. Let's put it right here. That's perfect. Thank you, Addison. Great. You can go sit down. Well done. Well done. Thank you so much. All right. Okay, next up we have in our list, it says that a bishop should be blameless as the steward of God. And by the way, he is the steward of God, isn't he? He doesn't own the church, does he? God owns the church. He's just the steward helping to take care of it for him. That's very important to understand too. But then it says that he should not be self-willed. And this is an interesting one to talk about. Not self-willed. One person I read said that he should be... He should not be unaccommodating. He should not be unaccommodating. Do you know what it means to be unaccommodating? To be unaccommodating means that this is the way I'm going to do it. And I don't care what you think and I don't care what you want. This is the way I do it. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way I'm going to continue to do it. I will not change. I am unaccommodating. And another definition said to be self-willed is to be self-pleasing. This is the way I like it, so this is the way I'm going to do it for me, and I'm not changing for you. And a pastor is not supposed to be like that. A pastor is not supposed to be self-willed. Now, I need another volunteer under the age of 100. Okay, I saw Claire first. Come on down. I need you to help me find something to illustrate, that a bishop... should not be unaccommodating. Okay, we'll just take them out of the box so they're a little easier to see. Okay, let me know if you see anything. A leash tells you that he should be unaccommodating. How do you get that? Okay, that's pretty good. I like that. But I had planned to use a leash for something else. So let's try again. They have to be flexible. They have to be able to move and change to help another person. They're not solid and they never change shape. No ideas? Do you know what this is? Okay, and what's silly putty like? What is it?
Flexible.
It's flexible. Why don't you see? Is it flexible? Squeeze it. Okay. Look. Oh, wait. I want everyone to see this. The silly putty is accommodating her thumb. It is changing itself to fit her thumb. It's not staying the same shape as the egg. It's now the shape of her thumb. Do you think the silly putty has a mind of its own? Like, this is how I want to look. What determines how the silly putty looks?
How it's moved.
What somebody else does to it, right? So a pastor is not supposed to be just focused on his own will. He's supposed to be focused on the will of God and helping other people. So he shouldn't just be caught up in his own will. He should be silly. No, he should be flexible. Okay? Do you see how this kind of reminds you of not being self-willed? You're supposed to be... willing to stretch. I wonder if that's comfortable. What do you think? How far can you stretch a pastor before he breaks? Wow. Okay. Pretty far. Oh, he broke. Okay. So what was the first thing we learned about pastors? Pastors are supposed to be, anybody? Blameless. And the silly putty teaches us that pastors are supposed to be flexible. And the negative in the Bible says they are not supposed to be self-willed. They're supposed to be yielding to the will of others, specifically God and those that they're serving. So, you think you can put this on the stair next to the frying pan? Wow, should we put the silly putty egg in the frying pan? Wouldn't that be funny? No, don't do that, because we want to remember it. Okay, so put it right next to the frying pan. Thank you. Nice job. Very good, very good. Okay, we got to keep reading our list. A bishop must be blameless, not self-willed, not soon angry. It says not soon angry. You don't need to know Greek to understand this. It means he doesn't get angry soon. quickly, fast, okay? To be soon angry would be to be irritable. And I got to confess, sometimes I feel irritable. You know, it doesn't take much to bug me. You know, early in the morning, doesn't take much, right? If a bunch of things have gone wrong, then it doesn't matter what the next thing is. It could be little, but it's irritating, isn't it? A bishop is not supposed to be irritable all the time. I hope we're allowed to be that way once in a while. Before coffee, I think it's allowed. Okay? But a bishop is not supposed to be easily provoked or anything sets them off. They lose their temper. They get angry and upset. They're supposed to be relatively mild-mannered and cheerful people. Okay? I need another volunteer. No siblings in row. Can't do that. Okay, Dylan, come on down. I need you to find something on my table that helps me remember that I'm not supposed to soon be angry. So how does that tell you not to be angry? Okay. Let me ask you this. Is there anything on the table that looks happy instead of angry? Aha! That's what I was thinking too. Great minds think alike. And so do ours. This is a Pez dispenser with a smiley face on the top. Does this look soon angry? No, it's very happy, isn't it? You know, a bishop or an elder or a pastor should have a smile on his face. He shouldn't be grumpy all the time. It shouldn't be that when somebody says, "Pastor, can we?" "I don't want to hear it. You're causing me trouble all the time. I don't want to have another deacon's meeting. Those deacons." Blah, 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 blah. That's not what a pastor should be like. He should not soon be angry. When something little goes wrong, should he get angry then? No. He should have grace in his heart so that he's not soon angry. He can be cheerful even when things aren't going his way. You like my Pez dispenser? It's empty, though. Isn't that sad? There's no candy in it. Otherwise, I'd give you some. So what does this mean a pastor's supposed to be?
Happy.
Happy. What's the opposite of happy? He's not supposed to soon...
Grumpy.
He's not supposed to soon be grumpy. That's right. So pastors should be blameless. What else should they be? They should be flexible. They should not be self-willed. And they should be not soon... Okay, can you put it on the stair for me? Make sure he stands up. Don't let it fall over. This is really important. Excellent, excellent. Well done, sir. You may return to your seat. Okay, let's take a look at what comes next. He is not supposed to be given to wine, the Bible says. He is supposed to be blameless. He's supposed to not be self-willed. He's supposed to not be soon angry. He is supposed to not be given to wine. Now, this is, boys and girls, this is not whining, okay? Now, pastors shouldn't be given to whining either, but that's another matter. This is, a pastor is not supposed to be given to wine. In the Greek, the word is paroinos. Par means by or beside. Oinos is the word for wine all throughout the Bible. So it literally means he's not supposed to be beside the wine. He's not supposed to be sitting there hanging out next to a bottle of alcohol. Okay, in the Bible, the word wine usually, often, I should say, means alcohol. Alcohol are drinks that are designed to make you lose control of your mind and to make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. That's what they do. They make you forget things. They make you forget things you should remember. They make you silly. They make it so that you can't drive right. They make it so you can't walk right, and they make your breath really stink. That's alcohol. And you need to know that it's bad for you, okay? And so why should a pastor be somebody who's always got a bottle of alcohol close to by him so that he can be drinking that? He shouldn't be. And so the qualification is that if this guy is like always next to a bottle of wine, he's not fit for being a pastor. It shouldn't be, okay? So I need somebody to come and help me, a volunteer. all right, I saw Chase next. Come on down. Help me find something that shows me I should not be given to wine or alcohol. Do you see anything? All right, that was easy, wasn't it? Good. So how does that tell you that I should not be given to wine?
Because it's Pepsi.
It's Pepsi, not wine. And I'm allowed to be by Pepsi. It doesn't say in the Bible that he is not given to Pepsi. So I have Pepsi bottles in my office at home. I have Pepsi bottles in my office at church. I have Pepsi in my fridge. I have Pepsi in the garage. I'm by Pepsi. See? I'm beside it. Let's be both beside it. We're both by Pepsi. We're given to Pepsi. But that's allowed. The Bible doesn't say, by the way, okay, so if you're wondering, this is a really special Pepsi bottle. It's from 1976, and it was bottled in the state of Colorado. Colorado is the centennial state, so Colorado was 100 years old when this was made. And it's also the year that I was born. So what do you know? They made special Pepsi bottles for me. 1876 to 1976, Colorado is the centennial state. They became a state when the country was 100 years old. And in 1976, the country was 200 and Colorado was 100. And it says, join the Pepsi people. Join the Pepsi people. All you Coke drinkers, join the Pepsi people. Okay? Now, I'm being silly, obviously, about Pepsi. But, boys and girls, young people and adults, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. It has destroyed many lives and many homes. And it's okay to drink Pepsi sometimes. You shouldn't drink it all the time. But alcohol, you should not drink. It's not good for you. And God warns us about it, okay? So carefully go set this next to the happy preacher. Of course he's happy. He's got a Pepsi next to him. Very good. Very good. Thanks. You can sit down. By the way, let me say something real important, okay? Because some of you may be thinking and wondering, okay, this is a list of qualifications for a bishop, but I don't want to be a bishop. I don't want to be a pastor, so what does this have to do with me? You ladies may be thinking, well, it says I can't be a pastor, so I certainly don't have to pay any attention to this, right? Well, let me put it to you this way. I played sports a little bit when I was in high school, 1 year in college. Not a lot, but a little bit. And on most sports teams, they have somebody that's called the captain of the team, or the team captain. And usually it wasn't right at the beginning that the coach picked the team captain. He'd kind of have a few practices, he would watch things, and then he would say, all right, I want this person to be team captain. And so the coach was still the coach, but the team captain kind of helped the coach. The team captain was responsible to help the guys do what's right, to help the guys know where they should go, to give them guidance and instruction because he was a respected senior member of the team. Okay, that was the team captain. And sometimes a coach might say something like this, I'm looking for a team captain who can dribble the ball. I'm looking for a team captain who's willing to pass. I'm most importantly looking for a team captain who's willing to listen to the coach and do what's right on the court or on the field. That's what I'm looking for in a team captain. So I want you to know I'm going to be watching for that, and that's the kind of team captain I'm going to pick. Now, only one person could be team captain. But what does that tell you when the coach gives that list of things that he's looking for in a team captain? Is it just that he wants the team captain to do that, but nobody else to do that? He really wants everybody to do that, doesn't he? And he's setting, this is the high set of standards that I want for my captain, but I really wish you would all do it. Amen. And so this set of standards that God gives for elders, pastors, bishops is especially for the pastors. But that tells me that these are things that God likes, and he probably wants all Christians to be doing them as well. Amen. Most of these things are not abilities that you do or don't have. They're qualities of life. They're part of your character that all of us at every age can be working on, okay? So we've seen that a bishop should be blameless. He should not be self-willed. He should not soon be, and he should not be given to, okay, good. Oh, I knocked over my happy pastor. There you go. All right, next in the list, who can tell me what it is? No striker. No striker. To strike means to hit most of the time. And the pastor should not be someone that is violent. The pastor should not have a reputation for hitting people, getting angry and punching people in the nose, or pushing people down, or hitting them in the stomach. Pastors shouldn't do that. They shouldn't be violent. They shouldn't be strikers. Okay, now, I don't have any boxing gloves. I couldn't bring boxing gloves, but I brought something else that's a little bit different to help us think of strikers. So I need somebody else to come and help me tonight who would come and find an aid for strikers. Seth, come on down. Come on downtown. Seth's going to find something that reminds us that pastors should not be what? They should not be strikers. Okay, what are you going to find? Nope, because those aren't boxing gloves. Those I need those for something else. They go with the Bible. Okay, this is kind of a joke. It's a different kind of striking. Can you think of any sport where you don't like to get a strike? All right. Go ahead and show everybody. Oh, look, he's even holding it well. Look at that. You ought to be proud, Dad. That's good. Okay. So in baseball, when you swing and you miss, it's a strike. So that's a different kind of strike than what the Bible's talking about. I don't think they'd invented, actually, baseball at that time. They probably did play soccer, though, because it's a much better game than soccer, than baseball. Anyways. So when you're a pitcher, you want to get a strike, right? But when you're batting, do you want to get a strike? No. I thought about bringing a baseball bat, but I thought that might be a little too graphic. People are like, pastors shouldn't hit people with baseball bats. So I didn't bring the baseball bat. But this reminds us of something about a pastor. What should a pastor not be?
Striker.
And Seth, what is a striker? Yeah, someone who hits people, someone who doesn't relax when people are talking to them. If somebody is talking at you and you want to hit them for what they said, that's not good, right? Okay, thanks. You can put that next to our not wine. Very good. We got a great bunch of young people here. Thank you so much. What else do we see about a pastor? We got to move quickly. What else is he not supposed to do? Not given to filthy lucre. Not given to filthy lucre. Now, before we explain that, I'm going to have somebody try to come and find it. Who wants to come and find filthy lucre? All right, Allison, why don't you come on down? Can you find some filthy lucre for me on this table? Filthy lucre. He's supposed to not be given to filthy lucre. Have we seen anything else that he's not supposed to be given to? Wine. So the word given means that they're like, controlled by. They're like belonging to that, okay? Have you found any filthy lucre on the table? No, that's not a lucre. Do you know what lucre is? Do you? You don't know? Why don't you go ask Brother Godfrey what lucre is? Just say, what's lucre, Brother Godfrey? Okay, so why don't you see if you can find anything up here that reminds you of that? Look what you found! Oh, wow! Now, I want you to look at that lucre, all right? Let me help you with it. Would you say that these are shiny, brand new lucres?
Yes.
They are?
Yes.
Do they look shiny and brand new to you?
Yes.
Why don't you get a second opinion and go ask Miss Elizabeth if they look shiny and new, okay? Quick. She's worked in the library. She's very smart. Okay, she's going to show them to her sister. Ask, would it, Addison, do you think they look shiny and new? All right, let's bring them back up here. Actually, Allison, I have to tell you, these are very, very old, ugly, dirty coins. Here's a quarter from 1981. You weren't even born yet. This is so much older than you. And look at that. What kind of coin is that? You can hardly tell. It's from 1977. That's actually Abraham Lincoln on the front, but it doesn't look like him anymore. Somebody scratched him all up. You see, you can't tell who it is. See how, is it dirty? Yeah, if you rubbed that on your finger, you would probably need to wash your hands before you got something. Oh, and look at this nickel here. It's got a spot on it. Is that clean? No, it's dirty, isn't it? And look, here's Thomas Jefferson. It looks like he's got something on his face, doesn't it? Like he didn't have a mustache, but it looks like he does. So he's very dirty. And dirty is what the word filthy means. Filthy, dirty. It means very, very dirty. Okay, so this is money, and it's very dirty. So we call it filthy lucre. Can you say that? Say it. Filthy?
Filthy.
Lucre. Lucre. Which means dirty money. Can you say dirty money?
Dirty money.
Very good. Take this dirty money. We don't want it, do we? Yuck! Go and set it next to the baseball. Very good. Thank you, Allison. I appreciate that so much. You can go sit down. Boys and girls, and the rest of you, pastors shouldn't love money. Because that's going to keep them from telling the truth. That's going to keep them from rightly dividing the word of God. That's going to keep them from making right decisions. If they only make their decisions based on money, they're not going to make the right decisions. So if somebody loves money, they really, really, really want to have lots of money and lots of nice things, they're not qualified to be a pastor because they are given to or controlled by filthy lucre. Okay, blameless, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. It means they're not greedy, okay? Now, the next one says that he is supposed to be a lover of hospitality. A lover of hospitality. Who thinks they can come show me something on our table that tells us to be hospitable? Anybody? Anybody? I saw somebody raise a hand. I don't know if he was serious or not. Sam! Thank you for volunteering. He's like, I didn't volunteer. I really didn't. I was sitting on my hands. Too bad! Okay, what about this table? What's left that shows us we should be given to hospitality? Oh, why do you say that?
Because you serve food
to people when they're visiting. You serve food to people when they're visiting on a tray. They don't visit on the tray. You serve food on the tray when people are visiting. That's very good. Well said, Sam. Unfortunately, it's only a picture of food. I don't have any food to serve to you. But you're exactly right. So what does this tell us about a pastor? What should a pastor be like? Welcome people where?
To
church. To church? I believe that's true. He should be very friendly and welcoming in church. What else should he do? Where else should he welcome people? You said it earlier. What do you use this tray for?
Serving people.
Where?
At home.
At your home. So the pastor's supposed to be friendly at his
house.
Yeah. A pastor should like having company. Isn't that neat? Do you think you can remember that? Do you think if we made you carry this all the way around the auditorium in your head, it would help you remember better?
Yeah.
We won't do that to you. Why don't you just set it on the platform over there, okay? So pastors are supposed to be given to what?
Hospitality.
That means they like to have company. Very good. All right, the next thing says he should not only be a lover of hospitality, he should be a lover of good men. A lover of good men, good people. That just means that he kind of has good taste in people. He likes being around people that are good people, that are helpful, that are spiritual, that are a good influence on him. Okay? So I need somebody else to come and find an illustration of being a lover of good people, a lover of good men. I have several under the age of 12 who have not yet participated. What do you think, Jacob? You want to give it a shot? Okay, we'll get you one later. We'll get you one later. Tiana, you want to try? Yeah, she's game. Let's do it. We're looking for something that reminds us of good people because a pastor is supposed to love good people and like to be around them. Can you think of anything on the table that does that? It reminds you of some good people. Getting warmer. Oh, you're burning up. Oh, she's on fire. Nice job. That's it. No, you had it. Yep. What is that?
Missionaries.
It's missionaries. Well, these aren't actually missionaries. This is just a picture of them. See, they're very skinny. That is a picture of missionaries. You're right. Missionaries, you can't pick them up this easily. But you're right. These are pictures of missionaries. Are they good people, do you think?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. And so pastors should like to be around missionaries. And pastors should like to be around other good people. They shouldn't, like, always want to hang around with people that are causing trouble. People that are getting into trouble all the time. People that are breaking the law. People that are just doing wrong things all the time. Those should not be a pastor's best friends. A pastor should be friendly to everybody and love everybody. But they should really especially enjoy the company of people who love God and like to talk about the Bible. And so this reminds us of that, okay? So what should a pastor be a lover of? He should be a lover of?
People.
Of good people. That's right. Very good. Can you put this next to the tray? Oh, on this side. Over on this side. Tiana, over on this side. There you go. Well done. Thank you so very much. Woo-hoo! Next, we see a qualification of a bishop. Not only does he have to be a lover of hospitality and a lover of good men, he has to be sober. He has to be sober. This word has the idea of being serious-minded or having a steady mind. They're not just emotionally all over the place. They're not just wild and their mind jumps to conclusions and they can't think through a problem and they're weak mentally. They're supposed to be people that have a steady, serious mind. They're sober. Okay? So this is kind of a tough one, and we are kind of running out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and do this one. I'll do this as an object lesson. They should be sober. Okay? Do you see how I have a very scholarly look? I have these glasses on. I got these for my 40th birthday, I'll have you know. Thank you very much. So I'm a scholar because I have this big, fat book. One of my favorite books, by the way. And I can learn, and I can have a good, strong mind because I'm reading. I'm a good student. I have a steady mind. This book and these glasses remind me that a pastor should have a steady mind. They should be sober. They shouldn't be just having a wild, crazy party all the time. Woo! What a great day this is. I'm just so happy to be alive. Well, what are you going to preach on in church tomorrow? I have no idea, but I'm sure it's going to be cool when I get there. See, that's not sober. That's silly, isn't it? Should a pastor be a silly person? No. A pastor should be somebody who knows how to be steady and knows how to be serious. So, we're going to put those right there. We got to go quickly. Next, it says that a pastor should be just. A pastor should be just. Like a judge who always does the right thing. All right? So, can I try you, Jacob? Would you be willing to try coming up front just for a second? I'll help you. Be brave. Dad wants you to. There you go. We're looking for something on the table that a judge might use in his courtroom. Ah, you are so right. What does a judge do with that?
He hits it on something?
Yeah, he hits it on something, right. So just like, no, he doesn't hit it on his head. He hits it on the table in front of him. He'll go, right? Case dismissed. And what does a judge do? Why does a judge have a job? What is he up there for?
To judge people.
Can he just kind of make things up and, oh, I think you're guilty. I think you're innocent. Or I don't care. Let's just throw you in jail anyways. Can a judge do that?
No.
You're not supposed to do that. The judge is always supposed to do what is?
Right.
Exactly. And that's what a pastor is supposed to do as well. A pastor is supposed to be just. They are supposed to be, here's the big word, are you ready? Equitable. Equitable. You want to try it? I'll say it again. Oh, you didn't even let me say it again. What is it?
Equitable.
Equitable, very good. So equitable means they treat people equally. They don't say, well, I like you because you're wearing red, and I don't like him because he's wearing blue, and so I'm going to treat you well, I'm going to treat him bad. Would that be equitable?
No.
No, because they're not treating you equal. And I can't say, well, you're a man, you're a woman, so I'm going to treat you totally different. You're old, you're young. You look like me, you don't look like me, so I'm going to treat you differently. That's being unequitable. It's not just, it's not right. And a pastor can't do that. A pastor's supposed to do what's
right.
Right. You want to hit it on the table once? Okay, go for it. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. A pastor is supposed to be just, like a good judge. A pastor is supposed to be holy. A pastor is supposed to be holy. And it's a very special word. It means sacred. It means that they are close to God or like God. And separated from things that are not like God. So I need somebody to come help me find something that is holy on the table. I think everyone that's younger than a teenager has had a turn. Is that true? All right, somebody who wishes they were still a teenager. Anybody like that want to come and try? Oh, I didn't see you. Jonathan, come on down, buddy. We're going to come down front, and we're going to look for something that reminds us that a pastor should be holy. And this is kind of like the one your brother Seth had to do. It's a little bit of a joke, okay? There's not something that's truly holy like the Bible says, but there is something that's holy on this table. Any guesses what it might be? Why don't you put it on your hand? It's clean, I promise. It's clean. Why don't you put it on your hand and find out? Put your arm into it, like as if your arm was a foot. Very good. Very good. A little farther, a little farther. Very good, very good. Uh-oh. All right, let's show everybody. Put your hand up really high, really high. All right. Jonathan, what would you say that sock has in the end of it?
A hole.
A hole. It's a holy sock, isn't it? Oh, brother. Is that what a pastor's supposed to be like?
No.
No. But it reminds us, what should a pastor be like? Holy in what way? How should a pastor be holy? It's a hard question. Let me ask it a different way. Who is the most holy person? That's right. So when we say that a pastor should be holy, who should he be like? That's right. A pastor should be like God in that he does what's right. He doesn't love sin. He loves to do what's right. So next time you see a holy sock, what are you going to think about? Okay, and when you see a holy, dirty sock, you can think about a pastor, okay? I'm just teasing. All right, let's go put that holy sock over here. Dun-da-da-da! Hoo-doo-doo! Let's put the holy sock up next to the gavel. Can you throw it up there? Go ahead. All right, nice job. It's up there. Pastors are supposed to be holy. Woo! Very good, very good, very good. All right, what's next on our list? Somebody help me. What's there in Titus? I think it's verse 9 now. What's after holy?
Temperate.
All right. A pastor is supposed to be temperate. Temperate simply means they are in control of themselves. They're not given to wine. They're not given to fighting. They're not given to money. They are controlled. They are not running wild or running loose. All right? So I think the next closest thing to a teenager we have is Rachel. So Rachel, what do you think up here? You don't have to come down front if you can see it from there. What do you think up here reminds us that we should be under control as pastors?
The leash.
The leash, that's right. So pastors should all wear a short leash and their wife should have the other end. No, just kidding. Just kidding. A pastor should be controlled. You know, dogs are great, aren't they? But if they run wild and there's nothing to control them, that's not so great, is it? It's good for a dog to be under control. Now, a pastor is like wearing a leash, but he's holding the other end. Sometimes our dog will do that. They'll be wearing a leash, like, come on, take me for a walk. Bring the leash to you. Pastors should have control of themselves. They should not be just crazy and going off and doing wild things. Pastors should always be under control. Self-controlled. And finally, pastors should be holding fast the word. They should hold fast the word of truth. And so we have here a Bible and a pair of gloves with which to hold it. Okay? A pastor is supposed to not just hold, a pastor is supposed to hold fast. Now, the word fast in the Bible often doesn't mean like quick. It means tight or strong. And so a pastor is supposed to hold on to the word tightly so that they don't lose it. It talks about the faith that had once been delivered unto them. I guess that's somewhere else. It talks about holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. That's what it says, as he hath been taught. So the idea is someone teaches a pastor the word of God, and then he holds on to that and teaches it in the same way to somebody else. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to take what was taught to me and I'm going to change it and teach it a different way. I'm going to teach it exactly as it was taught. I'm going to hold on tight. I'm not going to let it slip out and become something different. He's supposed to be a good teacher. He's supposed to hold on tight to the word of God. And there's other things I'd like to say there, but we are so out of time. Let me put my gloves down here and my Bible on top of them. And let's see if we can remember by going backwards. Are you ready? Pastors should, first, last of all, what should they be? Or what should they do? Hold fast the word. All right, I need everybody answering. Everybody paying attention. Everybody. Pastors should have temperance or self-control. Pastors should be holy. Pastors should be? Pastors should be? Sober. Yes, very steady minds. Pastors should love? Good men. Pastors should be given to? All right, you're doing great. Pastors should not love filthy lucre. Pastors should not be very good. Pastors should not be given to. Pastors should not be soon angry. They should be happy. Pastors should not be. This is a tougher one. I heard it a couple times, but it wasn't very confident. Try it again. Should not be self-willed, that this is how it's got to be. I am unappealable. Okay, and then pastors, finally, should be blameless. If an accusation gets thrown at them, it should slip right out of the pan and get all over the floor. Okay, so remember, this is a list of qualifications for bishops. If you're going to be a bishop, you have to be these things. But does that mean that God doesn't want other Christians to be those things? No. It just means that these are things that God likes in his team captain, and he wants all of his players, he wants all Christians to be like that as well. Hey, thanks for your help today. I had a good time, and hope these things will help us remember what God is looking for in his people. Thank you.
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.